coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome into hour number two. Really, just a half hour left of Old School here on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Brought to you by the Mercado, by Certified Piedmontese. Every type of meat, every type of cut. Perfect for anything you want to grill this weekend. Weather looks fantastic. Breaks my heart that both Husker baseball and softball are on the road this weekend. It'd be a perfect, perfect weekend to get out to Haymarket Park and Bolton Stadium. But alas, double dipping in Piscataway. Husker baseball and Husker softball. So we'll keep you tuned on that and probably give you a recap when we get back here on Monday. I'm Austin Orman. By the way, thanks for tapping in here on Old School. Whether you're on 93.7 on the radio dial, if you're on our free app for your phone, on our website, or of course on our social media streams by Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. Those are sponsored by Sartor Heyman Jewelers, as is our text line, 402-464-5685. If you've got thoughts on anything it is in these next 20 minutes and change, regarding college basketball, that's what I want to dive into here in these next few minutes. Let's start with the news closest to home. Let's do that. John Hughley coming on a visit to Nebraska men's basketball. He will be here in a week. If that name sounds familiar to you, it should. John Hughley was a visitor to Nebraska last offseason. He played 3 years at Pittsburgh, really one full year, and then a couple interrupted years. So as a freshman, he played 7 games, started one, had a great year in the 21-22 season, played 32 games, started 31 of them, averaged 14 points, 8 rebounds, an assist and a half, and then a combined steal and block and a half per game as a sophomore for Pitt. 2 years ago, 22-23 season, only played in 8 games, started 6 of them, before transferring to Oklahoma. He visited Nebraska with Javian McCollum, also on that list of guys last year for Nebraska, the Siena transfer, but both McCollum and John Hughley decided to go play for head coach Porter Moser down at Oklahoma, a team that I don't know if they reached the top 10, but I know they got into the top 15 at some points this season before really, really drastically cooling off in Big 12 play. 24 games played for John Hughley this year, only started one of them, played 17 and a half minutes per game. Shooting percentages were up across the board for him. He shot the highest he ever has in his career on twos at 60%, and his three-point volume wasn't nearly the same this past season as his previous year at Pitt, but he shot 40% from three, which is really darn good for a 6'9", 250-pound player. Also shot 76% at the free throw line, which is pretty darn good, again, for a post-oriented player. Top 100 type player by the Rating Service Consensus Index in his class, the 2020 recruiting class. Good player, has definitely flashed, had more of the bench role for Oklahoma this last year. And I like that Nebraska is at least dipping its toe back into the water with this guy. Offensively talented, pretty good feel for the game. Not the passer that, you know, Rinkmaster Derek Walker is for reference Husker fans, but isn't, you know, a black hole, isn't just getting it and putting a shot up necessarily. But he's definitely best at finishing plays more so than being a cog in the wheel. Didn't watch a lot of Oklahoma the last half of the year as they cooled off. So I couldn't tell you exactly what it was John Hughley's role is. But again, if you look at him averaging 8 points and 4 rebounds this last year, just kind of a role guy is what those numbers tell me. For an Oklahoma team that they could have used some more scoring punch, but Hughley also didn't add a lot on defense. Only averaged 0.3 steals per game and 0.2 blocks per game. So not overly active on defense. Just kind of picked his spots on offense. The fit on Nebraska's roster has me raising my eyebrows. If John Hughley were to have visited before Andrew Morgan in Nebraska was pursuing John Hughley, okay, that would make sense to me. I don't think you would see a lot of Hughley and Rinkmast on the floor together necessarily, outside of just the perfect matchup for it or situationally. Hughley can stretch the floor, but not necessarily high volume. He's a better finisher at the rim than Rinkmast is, at least by percentages this year. So he's a guy that primarily operates in the pick and roll, that operates down low on the block, maybe at the elbow, and then gets a little bit of a head of steam going to the rim. Whereas Rinkmast, with the right matchup, can go down to the block and facilitate from there. But we saw that Nebraska loved Rinkmast in the high pick and roll or at the top of the key, facilitating from there, maybe dropping down to the elbow at times. So you can talk me into maybe some high-low actions for those guys at a 4-5 pick and roll. But I would be most comfortable with John Hughley on the roster if he and Rinkmast were to essentially alternate minutes. If Rinkmast was going to play, you know, 25 minutes a game and John Hughley was going to play 15. That to me would be the rotation. Maybe probably not 20 and 20, and I think Rinkmast, you know, can consistently stretch up into the 28 to 32 minute range, but that leaves 8 to 12 minutes for a guy like John Hughley, who I think can play more than that and can make more of an impact, is a different body style than Rinkmast, whereas Rink is tall and lean. Hughley's put together more of that fire plug, spark plug sort of body type, bowling ball. So playing those two together on offense, you can talk me into a path for success, but defensively, nah, that's not happening. Rinkmast, not exactly a consistently intimidating presence at the rim. Pretty good positionally. Pretty good one-on-one defense in the post, all things considered. Decent help guy, but didn't send a lot of messages with blocked shots. Neither will John Hughley, not the most athletic guy. And if you're playing both of them together, in this day and age of college basketball, that means one of them is going to have to play on the wing somewhat consistently. If it's John Hughley against centers, don't love it. If it's Rinkmast against power forwards, I think you've lost the point of Rinkmast. Rinkmast, in what he's able to do, shooting the basketball, passing the basketball, you know, driving from the top of the key occasionally, is best against centers. You look at what he did against, like, a Zach Edey, who I know is an outlier in college basketball, but how Rinkmast even operated to some degree against Wisconsin. Those are more traditional centers. Where you saw Rinkmast struggle was against athletic big men. Khalil Ware, Cliff Amore, Pharrell Payne at times gave Rinkmast fits. And that's okay if that's going to be the case, but if Rinkmast is going to be in those matchups, those are the games where he needs to be hitting from long range. Against a smaller team like Michigan State, who went with Malik Hall, he was like 6'7", 6'8", at the five for a long stretch of time, that's where Rinkmast went to work in the post. But if you're going to move Rinkmast to the four, you open yourself up to a more athletic guy at that position, taking him off the bounce. Rink can move his feet pretty well for a center. Rinkmast isn't quick enough to be a wing, doesn't have the foot speed, foot quickness. Honestly, I don't think the hips are good enough to sink into a stance defensively against guys who are more comfortable with the ball in their hands. So, to me, getting John Hughley would really take away and detract from Rinkmast. Now, I know there are plenty of people out here who have issues with Rinkmast. So he disappeared in some games. He was a no-show. He was a zero. I think Rinkmast would tell you he wants to get more consistent. But I think what Rinkmast is able to do at his height, with his passing ability and shooting ability, again, at the five position, not the four, is potentially a bigger differentiator and difference maker for Nebraska if he adds a level of consistency to his game than a John Hughley. Bryce, so why the excitement for this guy? Sounds like a very meh player. I can't put my finger exactly on why it was John Hughley's minutes went down so much in Oklahoma, really from where they were as a sophomore at Pitt. He's a good player. Again, rating service consensus index, top 100 guy, was a big focal point of really the resurgence of Pitt a couple years ago under Jeff Capel. he's a good player, right? I don't want to knock John Hugley in his game. He can take over. He can be the man for a program. I think it's in him. But you see the inconsistency and you wonder if it's role. You wonder if it's mindset, mentality. I don't want to question a young man's maturity, but did he not see eye to eye with the coach? Made a quick decision based off of money. Come to find out the basketball fit wasn't the best. All of that's certainly in play. The hesitancy for me is the fit at Nebraska, specifically. I have more issues with him at Nebraska than I do him as a player. How about that, Bryce? Is that fair to say? Plenty of other places could use a guy like him, but especially with Andrew Morgan in the fold, again, quick for a five, might be able to hang with some traditional fours, but teams with athletic power forwards, probably going to cook Nebraska again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And if, you know, a team gets a guy like Coleman Hawkins, who didn't live up to the promise I thought he was going to this year for Illinois, but he did some naughty things to Nebraska at times, right? With his ability to stretch, his ability to put the ball on the deck, his ability to block shots as well. I think Nebraska still needs to get more athletic. I don't think Hugley helps that necessarily, but if Nebraska is not going to be able to add athleticism out of the transfer portal, that just makes it even more important to limit turnovers, to set good screens consistently, and to tick that three-point number up from 34, 35, 36% to, you know, 37, 38%. 40% would be, you know, fever dream type stuff. That's where Purdue ended up. Kentucky was in that neighborhood as well. And Hugley, again, stretched the floor pretty well on low volume, but to me doesn't make sense for this Nebraska roster as presently constructed. What Nebraska needs is guards. If you caught the tail end of On the Block, you heard Strick and I having this conversation. Hugley can be a difference maker for some team, just not Nebraska, but Nebraska needs guards in the worst way, absolutely desperately. You don't need to go find another Keisei Tominaga, but you need some dudes. Right now, the guards on the roster are Aaron Ulis, maybe Cale Jacobson, depending on how you characterize him, and then Nick Janowski coming down from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. Nebraska doesn't necessarily need a true initiator at point guard, right? Just a caretaker. I think you can see the outline of what worked for Nebraska with Bryce Williams there running the point. But Nebraska, I think, needs someone that can score from all three levels and that can go one-on-one. Not hijack the offense, right? I can hear the comments. I can read the text already. Well, Nebraska had that before. Look what good it did him with Alonzo Verge and Bryce McGowan's. Teddy Allen, even in that conversation at the wing position. Nebraska doesn't need guys to hijack the offense. Nebraska needs guys that can dominate the most important 4 minutes of a game, either offensively or defensively. That's where I think a William Kyle IV would be a better fit for this Nebraska roster, because he adds a different dynamic of defense and rim protection. That if you want to play supersized with Rink Mast at the four and stretching the floor and William Kyle IV at the center position defending the rim, absolutely sign me up for that. I'm here for that. Those two guys don't have an overlapping skill set, but Nebraska hasn't had a rim protector, like rim enforcer, with any consistency for a very long time. If Nebraska wants a difference maker on defense, you either need to get an athletic wing, a guy that's, you know, 6'5 to 6'7 that locks in, and when a Wade Taylor IV is going off, who's in the transfer portal now, by the way, when a Terrence Shannon Jr. is going off, you put your best guy on him while you find your rhythm on offense. Juwan Gary, I think, has the athleticism and the mindset to do it sometimes, but again, he came and went on the defensive end. I think Juwan would tell you he can be better, and I think Juwan can be that difference maker, but we have to see it, right, in his last go-around in college basketball. It's huge for Nebraska that he came back. Let's see another level of consistency. Same for Bryce Williams, who defended guards pretty well this year. I don't know how much thicker and stronger Bryce can get, but we saw Terrence Shannon Jr. had an athletic advantage on him. If you get a Jawan Gary with a Sam Hoiberg mindset, that is a wing stopper that makes a difference for Nebraska. And here's the thing. Those guys are hard to find in the transfer portal. Mark Mitchell, I think, is one of those guys. Highly doubt he's coming to Nebraska, although I would love that fit. We need to iron out his jump shot a little bit. Nebraska needs to find a player with the shot creation and creativity of a Bryce McGowan's, of a Teddy Allen, of Alonzo Verge. Heck, even throw like Deshaun Burke in that conversation. But they need to find a guy that's willing to do it when his number is called, not a guy who calls his own number. All those guys did that to varying degrees, and we saw it didn't necessarily work the best for Nebraska. Pardon the moments of silence as I drink my Mountain Dew for my friends at Good Sense, who bring us lunch every Friday. Really appreciate them. Strick and I have talked about this a little bit. I'm sure this conversation will continue throughout the offseason or, you know, until Nebraska picks some guys up out of the portal. But I don't mind Nebraska's egalitarian sort of offense. The benefit is it's hard to game plan against, you know, because anyone can go off any given night. It makes it maybe, you know, a little easier to feed the hot hand or harder to feed the hot hand, but easier to find the next hot hand. You can hunt those matchups, maybe not quite as easily, but anyone can be open any given play. Whereas the benefits of having a guy that's able to go one-on-one that you run plays for, you can target matchups by choosing who your screener is and going at that matchup repeatedly. The downside is if you go to that well one too many times, does everyone else get stagnant? Does the offense, you know, fall into a rut because there's not enough movement of players or the ball? Nebraska needs to find a balance between that. And I'm curious to see if Fred Hoiberg and his staff is able to do that. Augie asks, how confident are you about Mast returning? Confident. I would say right now I'm at a base 7.5 out of 10 confidence that Rink Mast is returning to Nebraska. The way he was talking, he was in support of Keisei Tominaga at the All-Star game, the three-point contest that the Keisei ended up winning. Gave me no inclination that Rink Mast was going to leave. I hope that Rink Mast, you know, looks overseas or to the G League for an evaluation to say, hey, what can I get better at? What are you looking for out of me as a prospect? But I feel pretty darn confident that Rink Mast is back for another year. And that's good for Nebraska. Maintain as much continuity as you can where the losses of Lloyd and Rice hurt because of the potential of what they could have been for Nebraska. The continuity of a Wilcher and a Lawrence leaving. And I throw Matar Jope into the potential conversation as well. Having guys that played a lot of minutes like Demarcus Lawrence and TJ Wilcher around for continuity would have been nice. But I think Nebraska did return the three most important players from last year's roster. Because if they're able to unlock another level of consistency, every single one of them can be that true difference maker Nebraska's looking for. Bryce Williams can score from all three levels against a variety of matchups. That's a difference maker. That's absolutely huge. Now, can he do it game to game, be more consistent, take over, and be the guy? Remains to be seen. Jawan Gary was being talked about as an all-Big Ten defense snub, but he's got another level. Jawan is athletic enough. He's shown the mindset to be able to lock anyone up for any amount of time. Let's go see it for 40 minutes. Let's go see it against, you know, someone the caliber of Terrence Shannon Jr., who in all likelihood, if he hasn't declared already, will declare for the NBA draft. And then Rink Mast. What he's able to do at his height, his size, with his passing ability and shooting, that's different than a lot of Big Ten bigs. It's different than a lot of bigs nationally. But Rink Mast has to do it on a game-to-game basis, almost regardless of matchup. He has more skills than the average big man. He has to be able to utilize skills differently based on the matchups he's in. I think all guys can do it. Just remains to be seen whether or not they will do it. Couple other basketball notes. Of course, if you missed it, Kentucky hires alumni Mark Pope to be their head coach. Funny stat, he's actually the oldest head coach that Kentucky has ever hired. He's a year and change older than John Calipari was when Kentucky hired him away from Memphis. I'm sure there'll be more conversation as we see who BYU hires and the route that Mark Pope goes in building his roster. Ali Khalifa from BYU is in the transfer portal. Would not shock me if that stretch-ish five, perimeter-based five, follows Mark Pope to Lexington. And then Dallin Hall, 6'4 point guard, kind of Sam Griesel-ish, maybe better three-point shooter. Also in the transfer portal from BYU. Again, I would assume that's a Kentucky lean for him. But that's a guy I wouldn't mind Nebraska kicking the tires on as a lead guard initiator. Again, kind of a role player, but maybe a shorter kind of Sam Griesel is what I would view Dallin Hall as. The other news of the day, Donovan Clingan officially declares for the NBA draft. UConn obviously went back-to-back with him as the linchpin of that defense. And I don't know if he's a better player than Zach Edey or not, but I think Donovan Clingan is going to have an easier transition to the NBA because of his role at UConn. Played a lot of drop coverage, defended the rim, didn't do much outside of the occasional post-up and finishing a lob. So no, his numbers weren't as good as Zach Edey's, but I think he was used much more similarly in college as he will be in the NBA compared to Zach Edey, who is not going to be the focal point of an NBA team. Yeah, he's 7'4", so is Victor Wembanyama. Those two are absolutely not the same player. So I'm looking forward to seeing where Donovan Clingan gets drafted and what his transition to the NBA looks like. That'll do it for Old School. Don't go anywhere. We got the Kansas City Royals coming up next. Kansas City Royals, best run differential in baseball, baby. They're back. They're here. They're wonderful. They're glorious. Hope you enjoy listening to that game. Friend of the program, Jake Eisenberg, on the call with Danny Matthews. I'll be back on stream only for one-on-one with DP hosted by AO. Talking financial literacy with Union Bank here in about half an hour. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you here shortly.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.